38. What about me? I notice that I have not had occasion to use the word I in my story for quite a while. I have used either the third person or the first person plural. There has been no opportunity to use the first person singular. That is no accident. It was one of the points, perhaps the point, of what was happening to us in the camp, that the individual person each of us represented played no part and was completely sidelined. That just did not count. Things were quite deliberately arranged so that the individual had no room for maneuver. What one represented, what one's opinions were in private and actually, was of no concern and set aside, put on ice, as it were. On the other hand, in moments when one had the leisure to think of one's individuality, perhaps if one awoke at night in the midst of the multifarious snoring of one's comrades, one had a feeling that what was actually happening, in which one participated mechanically, had no real existence or validity. It was only in these hours that one could attempt to call oneself morally to account and prepare a last position of defence for one's inner self, perhaps thus. Well, this will last another 4, 6, or 8 weeks. I have to get through it without drawing attention to myself. Then there will be the exams. After that I shall go to Paris, and it will all be forgotten, as though it had never happened. In the meantime, it is a kind of adventure, and certainly an experience. There are some things I must never do, never say anything that I would be ashamed of later. Shooting at targets is all right, but not at people. I must not commit myself or sell my soul. Anything else? Oh dear. It dawned on me that I had already relinquished and lost everything. I wore a uniform with a swastika armband. I stood to attention and cleaned my rifle, but that did not count. I'd not been asked before I did it. It was not me that did it. It was a game, and I was acting a part. Only what if, dear God, there was some court that did not recognize this defense, but simply wrote down everything as it happened, that did not look into my heart, but simply noted the swastika armband. Before that court I was in a wretched position. Dear God, where had I gone wrong? What should I say to the judge who asked, "You wear a swastika armband and say that you do not want to. Then why do you wear it?" Should I perhaps have refused on the very first day, when the armbands were handed out? Stated immediately, "I will not wear such a thing," and trampled it underfoot? That would have been sheer madness, and ridiculous as well. It would only have landed me in a concentration camp, and not in Paris, and I would have broken my promise to my father to take my exams. I would probably die, for nothing, for a quixotic gesture not even made in public. Ridiculous. Everybody wore the armbands here, and I was certain that there were many whose private views on the matter were the same as mine. If I had made a fuss, they would only have shrugged their shoulders. It was better to wear the armband and maintain my freedom for a later, greater purpose. It was better to learn how to shoot. That way I might be able to use the skill in a more important cause. But the nagging voice remained. "All that does not change the fact that you have worn the armband." My comrades snored, tossed and turned in their sleep, and made other noises. Only I was awake and alone. The air was stuffy. I ought to open a window. The moon shone in. I ought to go back to sleep. Getting back to sleep was no longer easy. It was not good to wake up in the dormitory. I rolled over. My sleeping neighbor's breath smelled bad, and I rolled back. Different thoughts. More night thoughts. When that was said about flattening Paris, didn't you feel a stab in your heart? Why didn't you say anything? What should I have said? Perhaps, "That would be a pity. I might actually have said that. Did I? I'm not sure any more. Anyway, the answer would only have been, "Of course it would be a pity." And what then? Saying something as mild as that was more cowardly and dishonest than silence. What should I really have said? "That's dreadful. It's inhuman. You don't know what you're saying." That would have had just as little effect. They wouldn't even have been angry, just irritated. They would have laughed or shrugged their shoulders. What should I have said that would really have been appropriate, really effective, that would have broken through their armor of deafness and saved my soul? I strained to find something, without success. There was nothing. Silence was better. Or the other day, when somebody else, otherwise a pleasant comrade, had talked about the trial of those accused of starting the Reichstag fire, and said, "I don't really believe they're guilty, but what does that matter? There are enough witnesses against them, so why not just chop off their heads and be done with it? A few more or less don't make any difference." He said it pleasantly, without rancor. What can one say to that? There is no answer. The only reaction is to take an axe to the person's head who said it. Just so. But me with an axe? Besides, the man who said it is quite decent otherwise. The other day, when I felt sick, he got up and helped me to the latrines and hung a bathrobe around my shoulders. I can't take an axe to his head. Anyway, who knows if that is his real, private opinion? Perhaps it just slipped out. What great difference is there between saying something like that, as he did, and listening to it without retort, as I did? It's almost the same. I tried another position, and my thoughts shifted a little. What if you actually had to do something? Yes, that is the decisive point. Would any of us, would I, find a way out if actions were demanded of us? If the war suddenly did break out, and we were ordered into battle, just as we were now, into battle where we would be required to use our rifles for Hitler. Well, would you throw aside your rifle and desert? Or shoot at your neighbour who only yesterday helped you clean your weapon? Well, would you? Would you? I groaned and tried to force myself to stop thinking. I realized that I was well and truly in a trap. I should never have come to the camp. Now I was in the trap of comradeship.